Good evening. It's good to see you. It's good to be here with you tonight. See many of my friends here tonight, and it's a joy to be with you. I am here because I'm passing through. I'm, Lord willing, be flying out in the morning and be headed to Africa. And I'm going over there with Jim. I'm going to be meeting Jim Bradford in New York, and we'll be headed to Togo, Africa, for about 2.5 weeks. So I'm excited about that opportunity, and certainly thankful that it affords me this opportunity to be with you and to study the Word of God. I certainly do not intend to throw your regular schedule off. Hopefully it's not too much of a derailment, but I'm certainly thankful for any opportunity that I have to preach and to teach, and I'm thankful that I can do that. It's good to be with you. To introduce our thoughts, I'd like to read a few verses from the book of Joshua. I'm not going to comment on these verses, but I'd like to read these verses at this time, beginning in Joshua chapter 14, verse 8. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. So Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive and has said, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now here I am this day, 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. Now therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. For you heard in that day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. I want to talk to you about following the Lord fully and pull out some things from this passage and others that we might make some application, hopefully encouraging us to be as these words so clearly state concerning this particular man, that we might follow the Lord wholly or fully in our lives. The lesson will begin after we pause and pray and then sing another song. So at this time, we'll have our prayer. If I were to ask you, who were the two spies out of the 12 that were sent into the land of Canaan and spied out the land, and then they brought back that positive report to the people saying that we could take the land. Who were those two spies? I'm sure you could name them. Who were the two spies that were outnumbered? 2 against 10. And I'm sure that in your mind you have probably already answered Joshua and Caleb, and you probably mentioned that in your mind in that order, Joshua and Caleb. And that's usually how we speak their names. We usually say Joshua before Caleb, because Joshua became the leader after Moses died. He overshadowed Caleb for the most part. He was the go-to man. And we tend to talk more about Joshua than we do about Caleb. Joshua became the great general that conquered the land. Joshua has a book written after him, has a name, his name, or a book is named after him. And so we can usually pedestalize Joshua, and we dismiss Caleb. He's in the background. But I want to talk tonight about Caleb. I want to talk about Joshua's counterpart, and especially I want to notice something that the Bible says about him that is very unique to him. That it doesn't say, as far as I can tell, the Bible doesn't say anything like this about anyone else. In fact, it mentions just in our reading that Caleb followed the Lord wholly, or he followed him completely. He was loyal to him entirely. He followed fully. And it goes on and mentions this six times about him. He is the only person in all of the Bible who was described that way with those exact words. He followed the Lord fully. But why would God use those words? Why would God choose to describe Caleb this way? What is it about Caleb that made him worthy of such an inscription? What does it mean to follow the Lord fully? Well, I want to look at this story and pull out three things about Caleb that I believe we can see why he would be described this way. And the first thing that we want to mention is his vision. Caleb had a perspective that the others did not. Caleb followed the Lord through his vision, and that is through his faith. He saw things differently than the other spies who saw the same thing. In fact, in Numbers chapter 13, they came to the land of Canaan, and they were prepared to march through the land, but God, of course, would send these 12 men to spy out the land, and each man from each tribe would be given the duty to go and to survey the land and spy out the land, and they did so for 40 days. And when they came back and gave their report, you know what? They all saw the same things. They all agreed about what they saw. It wasn't as if they said, well, I saw this, and then some others piped up and said, no, I didn't see that. No, they all agreed upon the same facts. They all saw the same information. But notice their difference in perspective. In Numbers chapter 13, beginning at verse 25, the Bible says, "And they returned from spying out the land after 40 days. Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told him and said, 'We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan.'" Now listen, the Bible says, "Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses." I want you to get the picture here. They began to convey what they had surveyed, and they began to relay what they had seen. And certainly they all saw the same details, the well-fortified cities. They saw giants in the land. But then Caleb spoke up before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone out as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw giants," they said. And then there is a parenthetical statement, "The descendants of Anak came from the giants." And that's going to be a particular interest later. And we were like grasshoppers in their sight. Or we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in their sight. So we have this picture. These 12 men, they could all agree on the aspects of the land. It was good. It was spacious. It flows with milk and honey. They brought back some of the fruit. You know that they had to carry some of the grapes on poles, on their shoulders. It was so massive. It was bountiful. It was certainly a land that God had promised that flowed with milk and honey. They all agreed that the cities were large and strong and well fortified. And the people were of great size. They all agreed on the facts. And 10 of the 12 spies focused on the negative. They focused on the giants and on a bad report. They saw the obstacles. And yet, it was Joshua and Caleb who saw the opportunities. Did you notice who spoke up? Who was the spokesman for the minority? It was not Joshua, but it was Caleb. He quieted the people and he reminded them of one important fact. The cities may be strong, but they're not as strong as God. The people may be large, but they're not as big as God. He said, we are well able to overcome. We're not just able, but we are well able, because he saw their obstacles compared to God. And so his vision, his perspective, his faith was different than that of those other men. We are well able. The majority measured the giants against themselves, but Caleb measured the giants against God. And usually when we're pessimistic or when we're negative or when we're downtrodden and our faith begins to waver, it's because we forget how big God is. And it's because we fail to focus on God. And we're not truly following the Lord fully, because we are too busy thinking about the obstacles, not the opportunities. George Bernard Shaw said, some men see things as they are and they ask why. Others dream things that never were and ask why not. That's vision. Now the other spies saw the giants of the land and they said, we're like grasshoppers in their sight. But Caleb, he knew that those giants were the grasshoppers compared to God. And he followed the Lord fully because he had a vision, a different perspective, and he chose to see things as God sees them. And that's how we must. Now this is not really a sermon about being optimistic or motivational speaking or positive thinking, always looking on the bright side of things. No, a vision is synonymous really with faith and trust that God is able to do and God is able to keep His word. And that's exactly what we must have. The odds that are against us may make it seem impossible. It may seem like I could never do that or I could never succeed. And that's when we need to change our look and have a vision of one who follows the Lord fully. A lack of faith makes us pessimistic. A lack of trust makes us cynical. It makes us critical. And it could create within us a heart of bitterness and resentment. When the children of Israel were freed from the land of Egypt and they faced the wilderness, they failed to trust that God would provide for them. It didn't take long. You know, think about the miraculous deliverance that the children of Israel experienced, the plagues that came upon the Egyptians that would not only allow the Israelites to go free, but they would go free with bounty and food and clothing and gold. They had riches. But then when their supply ran out, their water ran out, they began to complain and they began to even criticize God, saying, He led us out here to die. How short-sighted they were. They had failed to focus on what God had done for them and what God had promised them. And when we look at the example of the Apostle Peter, who stepped out of a boat and onto water where typically he would sink, he begins to walk. He does what is impossible because he is keeping his eye on Jesus, and he is looking to Jesus Christ, who bid him to come to him on the water. But it wasn't until he took his eyes off of the Lord did he begin to sink. His faith began to crumble. And sometimes we can be so pessimistic and negative and faithless that all we see is the impossible. And we're not really following the Lord fully. We need to change our vision. It's easy to fall into the cynical way of thinking. One man said it's called stinking thinking, where it pollutes our mind and we're just so negative and down and we don't have enough faith that God is able to do abundantly more than we ask or even imagine. And all we can do is see the giants and we think that we're going to crumble and we're going to be defeated. Well, this same scene was before all 12 spies. They saw the same thing, and 10 of them said, "There's no way, we are not able." And yet Caleb said, "We are well able." He followed the Lord fully, and that speaks to vision. Are you? Are you following him fully? Could it be said of you? If not, then change your perspective, change your look, change your vision. Now, the second thing that he did that I believe made him worthy of such a description is he followed the Lord fully, not just in respect to his vision, but in respect of his devotion. His devotion. When it says that he followed the Lord fully, it speaks that he was completely devoted to the Lord in all that he did. And he was not devoted to people or circumstances, but he was devoted to God. I want you to consider that these 12 spies were chosen from their tribes. Each tribe selected one of these men, and therefore each of these men were really selected to be a leader of their tribe. They were men who were already with some status, with some measure of respect, and they were looked up to. Now, of the tribe of Judah, which numbered 74,600 people, 600 men in the tribe of Judah, they selected Caleb. 74,600 men, they selected Caleb. Now, how would you like to go in for an interview and you find out that there were 74,000 other applications? Would you be waiting for a phone call the next morning? What are your odds? What are your chances? That shows you, I believe, just how much Caleb stood out. Think about that in relation to all of the other spies and their tribes. You see, when Caleb stood up, he wasn't just standing up against the people. He was standing up even against the cream of the crop of Israel. It wasn't the riffraff of Israel. These were leaders. And can you imagine the pressure that these 10 other men placed upon these two, standing against the other spiritual leaders and resisting the temptation to back down? And yet Caleb and Joshua gave their report and they admonished the people to trust in the Lord. Now, for time's sake, in Numbers chapter 14 and verses 9 through 10, let me just notice after Caleb gives the report and fully describes what he believes they can do, you know what the people do? all the congregation said to stone them with stones. Now, they were wanting to put him to death. Why? Because they said, trust in the Lord. We can do it. You see, these people were so negative and they bought into the cynical report that they could not, that they would rather fight their own people than to fight their enemy. And so the congregation said to stone them with stones, but Caleb was not devoted to people. He was devoted to the Lord. There must come a time in our own spiritual walk when we start to think less and less, and eventually not at all about what other people think of us. And as I get older and the longer I live, I find that it to be a very liberating thing, the more I can do that. We are devoted to God, and it is His approval that we must seek first. We need to be certain that we are pleasing Him above everybody else. Do you know why Solomon fell away from faithfully following the Lord? Well, Solomon, he asked for wisdom. He got it. And then he ended up marrying 700 wives. Not very wise, huh? 300 concubines. Pretty foolish, huh? But the Bible says something very specifically in 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 4. For it was so when Solomon was old that his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. Notice, he was not fully following the Lord. He had a divided allegiance. He had a divided heart, and he was not loyal to God because of that. And the reason the kingdom divided, we can chalk it up to Rehoboam taxing the people, but it all started because of Solomon. And God made the plan to take the kingdom away from Solomon because his heart was not fully devoted to him. Caleb followed the Lord fully. His heart was fully devoted to the Lord. And when you follow after him, you're going to have to take a stand that is unpopular, and that may be even against your friends or your family. And we live in a world that is very hostile. We know that to everything God related. And if we're going to stand with God, the world is going to be hostile towards us. Jesus said, don't marvel when the world hates you. It shouldn't be a surprise. It hated me first. And if you follow the Lord fully, you're going to stand up for what is right when everyone else wants to knock you down. And we should expect that from the world. We should expect that from people at school. We should expect that from people at work. We should expect that from a society that is dark and that is a cesspool of sin and degradation. But I want you to think about the fact that Caleb took his stand against the cream of the crop of his own people. And when you are devoted to the Lord, that may mean that you have to take a stand, even in the church, and say, we don't have authority for that. We can't do that. Where's the book, chapter, and verse for that? We shouldn't be participating in things like that as a congregation. Are you that devoted? Are you that devoted to where you could stand against people that you respect and that everybody else respects, if necessary? To follow the Lord fully may mean that you have to stand up in your own household and say, we shouldn't be watching that, or we shouldn't be talking about that. That's gossip. After Jesus' arrest and the disciples forsook him and fled just as he predicted, the Bible does say that Peter and John follow. We do know that because they both end up in the courtyard. But the Bible says something very specific about Peter's following the Lord. He doesn't follow him fully. In fact, it says that he follows him from a distance. And I think that, of course, was literal. I would imagine Peter was so afraid that he would follow from tree to tree, and he would just keep a distance so that as to not associate or give away his association or connection with Jesus. And we see eventually that he would completely deny that he even knew him. And so as Peter is following Jesus from a distance, there was a distance growing in his heart. Before, he was right there with Jesus and surrounded by friendly faces. And that's when he made the pledge and he made the vow. Others may forsake you, but I never will. I will die for you. I will die with you if need be. And yet now, because he has grown distant to the Lord, there's a lot of distant disciples in the church. There's a lot of people that like the comfort of following Jesus, but they don't want to get too close. There's a lot of people that don't want to fully commit to the Lord. They like that idea of the comfort of being a Christian, but they also like the idea of flirting with the world. And whenever you flirt with the world, it will eventually steal your heart. There will be a distance that will grow, and you will find yourself surrounded by the enemy, saying things and even doing things that you vowed and you thought you would never do. To follow the Lord fully is exactly what Caleb did. And when we look at Peter, we see that he cared what other people thought more than what he promised, and he denied the Lord. But whenever you follow the Lord fully, it will require your whole heart, everything you've got, at all times. Even when you are away from the church, even when you are alone. Last of all, we see something about Caleb that I think very beautifully, really encouragingly, allows us to see why he would be described this way. Because when he followed the Lord fully, he followed the Lord to completion. Completion. Now, he followed the Lord all the way to the end. Finished what he started. That's what Caleb did. Now look at Joshua 14. After the wandering in the wilderness, you know, they had sent those spies, and the spies came back, and the people listened to the negative report, and as a result, they are turned away. They were denied access by God, and they have to wander in the wilderness for 40 years, where many of them died. Most of them died. 20 years old and up, they died in the wilderness, the exception, Caleb and Joshua. But after they wandered in the wilderness and the initial battles in Canaan, it's time now to divide up the land. And Joshua 14 has this record, verse 1. These are the areas which the children of Israel inherited in the land of Canaan, which Eleazar the priest, Joshua the son of Nun, and the heads of the fathers of the tribe of the children of Israel distributed as an inheritance to them. Their inheritance was by lot, as the Lord had commanded by the hand of Moses, for the 9 tribes and a half. For Moses had given the inheritance of the 2 tribes and a half on the other side of the Jordan. But to the Levites he had given no inheritance among them, for the children of Joseph were 2 tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim. And they gave no part to the Levites in the land except cities to dwell in, which their common lands for their livestock and their property. As the Lord had commanded Moses, so the children of Israel did, and they divided the land. So they're dividing up the land. And Joshua said, we're going to divide this land up just as God had commanded us to do, and we're going to choose a leader from each of the tribes to oversee this. And guess who the tribe of Judah is going to select as their leader? Of course, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. Verse 7, it says, Caleb speaking here, and this was in our reading, I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. So Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive and said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord, or as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke these words to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now here I am this day, 85 years old. Okay, so you fast forward it, and here Caleb is 85 years old. Now think about all that he had seen. He had seen generation after generation, all of these people dying in the wilderness. And yet he's alive. In fact, he says, as yet I am as strong this day as in the day that Moses sent me, just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. Now therefore, and here's what's amazing about the story. Now listen up to this. Now therefore, give me this mountain. Now, we sing about that, don't we? We know that the old Linwood song, Lord, give me this mountain. Well, this is where it's coming from. Give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. For you heard it in that day, how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. Think about what's going on here. Caleb is 85 years old, and they're dividing up the land. And Joshua says, you pick out your land. And you know what Caleb says? Now, if it had been me, I might have been tempted to say, hey, I fought a good fight. I'm 85 years old. It's time for the next generation to, hey, pick me out a hill somewhere where there's a shade tree. I'll put a swing on it, and we'll, dine on milk and honey for the rest of my days. But that's not what he does. You know what he does? He says, give me this mountain, for the Anakim are there. Now, what is that? What's the significance of that? You know, back when I was younger and I was in elementary school, I remember, being on the playground, and we would play football or basketball, and we would divide up teams, and somebody would say, okay, everybody, man up. Man up, and that means you pick somebody on the opposing team who you're going to guard or who you're going to defend. And I'd always try to find the girl with the broken arm, and that would make it easy. Man up, right? Joshua says, man up, who you got? And you know what Caleb says? Give me the giants. Give me the giants. We didn't drive them out 40 years ago when we should have, when we could have, and now I'm going to finish the job. Give me the giants. And he says, I'm 85 years old. Give me the Anakim. We were supposed to drive them out 45 years ago. God will give us the victory today. Give me this mountain. I'm not done yet. I've still got more drive. I've still got more work to do. I still need to finish what I started. And you know, sometimes in the church, there are people that want to kind of rest on their laurels. They want to relax. They want to sit back and let the younger generation or let others do it. But God's not through with you yet. Doesn't matter who you are. There's still something for you to do. In verse 13 of Joshua 14, it says, so Joshua blessed him and gave him Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, for an inheritance. Therefore, Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, until this day, because he followed the Lord God of Israel fully. Now, the name of Hebron was formerly Kiriath Arba, for Arba was the greatest man among the Anakim. Then the land had rest from war. Caleb, chapter 15, Caleb drove out the three sons of Anak from there. Completion. He was ready to do what needed to be done, what he started when he was 40, and he was finally able to do it at the age of 85 years old. Give me this mountain. Give me the giants. You following the Lord that way? Do you have the courage? Do you have the conviction, the commitment to see it through? After 45 years, the promise that Moses had made to Caleb that he would inherit the land that he spied out sustained him through all those years. And that's what he remembered. As they were traveling in the wilderness and people were dropping like flies, they were dying out there in the wilderness. You know what sustained him? The promise that God was going to deliver, that God was going to keep his word. 1 Peter 1 verse 9 says, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your works. Philippians 1 verse 6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. We must complete the good work that God has started, that he has begun in each one of us. And there's a worldliness all around us. We've got to drive them out. We've got to drive it away. We've got our own land of promise that we're pursuing. A promised land to the faithful. And what good does it do to become a Christian if you do not fully realize our home is in heaven and we're just passing through? You see, Caleb had an influence not just on his own generation, but on the next generation. The very first judge of Israel, named Othniel, was Caleb's nephew. He defeated the king of Mesopotamia in Judges 3. And Israel had been serving them for 8 years because of their sins. And now Othniel, Caleb's nephew, leads the people of God to victory in that generation. And it says that the Spirit of the Lord came upon him and he judged Israel simply because of his uncle, Caleb, and the influence that he had. And so don't give up, don't quit, don't stop, for you will receive a crown of life, and you will be given an entrance, abundant entrance, into the kingdom of heaven if you but follow the Lord fully. Maybe you're here this evening and you're not yet a Christian. Why don't you become one? But if you are here and you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, what's keeping you from that? Come believing in Jesus and repenting of your sins and confessing your faith in him and be baptized for the remission of your sins. If you have obeyed the gospel, maybe you have sinned and you have grown weary or you have drifted away, why don't you recommit yourself? Follow the Lord in your faith, a vision that God is able and God will keep his promise and he will do what he said he will do. You follow the Lord in your commitment and your devotion, and you follow the Lord in your completion. If we can assist you in any of that tonight, we invite you to come while we stand and while we sing.